What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. It is now about 12:06. And... as I understand it, the plans were for the procession of one of the fallen officers from Monday's attack on the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force that left four law enforcement officers dead, as well as the suspect. There was a procession that was scheduled to start right about now, and it's supposed to go up I-77. All the way up to exit 36 in Mooresville. It will then head east on NC-150. They're not saying where the processional will end, according to the Charlotte Observer. If we've got more details on the specific route and all, we can let you know. But it's going to be leaving from Center City, Charlotte, basically, and going up to Mooresville. And... that's where one of the agents lived. And so we will obviously have updates in the traffic reports. But if you can avoid the area, that's probably best to do so. Traffic is going to be probably, pretty bad. But also, if you would have a heart and a mind to do so, you could also pull off to the side of the road, get out of the car, and maybe just stand there and as a sign of respect. I'm sure that would mean a lot to the officers and all of those involved in the processional to see that kind of support from the local communities along the route. Also on Friday, May 3rd, there has now been a memorial service scheduled to honor the life and service of Officer Joshua Iyer. He was the one Charlotte-Mecklenburg police officer that was killed, one of the four. One was a U.S. Marshal service, deputy U.S. Marshal, and then the other two were from the North Carolina Department of Adult Corrections. And the memorial service for Officer Iyer is going to be at 10 a.m. at the First Baptist Church in Uptown. That is at 301 South Davidson Street. It will be streamed on the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department's YouTube channel. But once again, for these types of events, you know, people, if you are aware, if you're in the area, you're aware of what's going on, it is a source of comfort to the people who knew and loved the fallen to see the kinds of support that I know Charlotte has exhibited in the past. In 2007, when officers Clark and Shelton were murdered, I was a reporter at the time, and as such, I think I was literally the last car in that funeral procession for Officer Shelton. Officer Clark. And, well, I think actually, hang on a second. Well, because they ran one past his, past the cemetery. I think that's where maybe his parents were, and they ran the procession, and this was over in East Charlotte off of Monroe Road. But then I think we proceeded on, because I want to say they did both of the services together. It was massive. It was down at Calvary Baptist Church, the big pink church down there, you know, Southeast Charlotte, and the place was full. And that was, it was brutal. I mean, the service, seeing the family members come out with the little babies and stuff, it was just very, very difficult. And I just remember driving at the very end of that procession, and the whole route, the whole route was full of people standing on the side of the road with American flags. We did a campaign with blue ribbons, which I would highly recommend as well. Go out, get a blue ribbon, tie it around your tree, get a blue ribbon, tie it on your car, put it on your lapel. I think we're trying to get some here as well to distribute, but I was surprised to see some of these things occurring as quickly as they are, some of the services and stuff happening so fast. But it's a source of comfort. It really is. And it's a way to send the message, in particularly in this time, that they are appreciated for what they do. We do recognize the service, and we mourn for their loss. We grieve for their family and for their colleagues, because most people do. Most people are just out living their lives, right? They're not engaged in the kind of fiery but mostly peaceful protests that, you know, helped to launch one of our Charlotte City Council members into office. Well, he's not in office anymore. Now he's running for state labor commissioner. So it's a nice visual to communicate the sentiment, you know, the feeling that most of us have. There is also, there is also a story out of WCNC, because as we start to piece together what occurred and who it was that did this kind of damage, we find out that the suspect here, Terry Clark Hughes Jr., had a rap sheet over, you know, spanning the better part of a decade and a half, over almost two. And nobody is surprised by this. And the guy has shown a proclivity to evade arrest, ignore law enforcement, ignore the courts, just do whatever the hell he wants or wanted. There was a quote, and I heard Brett Jensen filling in for Vince Coakley earlier today, and he was talking to the Charlotte Mecklenburg Fraternal Order of Police President Daniel Redford, and Redford was quoted in this WCNC story, I think it was yesterday, and he said something to the effect of, when he was asked about the district attorney's office and these, you know, the judges and the courts and, you know, this turnstile of justice that we seem to, it's not even justice. These are inconveniences, right? People are not held accountable. They get their charges dropped. They don't show up for court, right? So Redfern said, whatever system that these folks are trying to build, it's not working, okay? Whatever it is you guys are doing, stop doing. Whatever it is, whatever this thing is that you think you're working on, this project of decarceration or whatever it is, it's not working, okay? The U.S. Marshal Fugitive Task Force was attempting to serve multiple warrants against Hughes, including one tied to a chase where he ran from cops in Lincoln County. And you'll recall, right, a lot of these police departments have like no pursuit policies now, because they chase people that are going too fast, and then there's an accident and innocent people are killed. And so, okay, no more chasing. Well, criminals know then that if they just flee, the cops will stop chasing them. But the Lincoln County law enforcement got the license plate, and that's what traced him back to, because the license plate was registered to the address in East Charlotte on Galway Street. And I suspect he's probably driving the car owned by that female. Don't know that to be true, but going to take a wild guess. So, Galway Drive, rather. And that was one of the warrants that they were going after him on. He also had a warrant. Warrants in Mecklenburg and another one in Person County. Guy's got three different counties with outstanding warrants. What does that tell you? This guy is a repeat offender who doesn't think he needs to show up to court, doesn't think he's going to get punished. In other words, no consequences, right? There are no consequences for his bad behavior, for his, I heard Brett Winterbull talking about this, that he is done with the antisocial behavior that has been permitted in the society. And that's what it is. It's antisocial deviancy, cultural criminality, whatever, you know, psychopathy, dark triad types of personality traits. And this guy thought, obviously, that none of the rules apply to him. And by the way, it doesn't seem like a lot of them were. So he wasn't that wrong.
Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
All right, so this is from WCNC Television, the NBC affiliate here in Charlotte. They did a dive into the background of the guy who murdered the four law enforcement officers on Monday. The U.S. Marshal Fugitive Task Force was attempting to serve multiple warrants against Terry Clark Hughes Jr. on Monday, including one tied to a Lincoln County car chase at a home on Galway Drive in East Charlotte when they were met with active gunfire, according to the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department. Hughes was eventually shot and killed during the encounter. Two other people were found inside the house after Hughes was killed, according to police. CMPD has not identified either of those people, and CMPD Police Chief Johnny Jennings said yesterday at that press conference that neither of those women were females. They kept calling them females because one's a juvenile, but neither one of them are charged at this time. And according to Jennings yesterday, right now, it appears that they were not involved in the shooting, but the investigation is ongoing, and that may change. WCNC Charlotte reviewed Hughes' criminal background. It shows a man who routinely skipped court and repeatedly tried to evade arrest. At the time of the shootings on Monday, the task force was trying to serve warrants out of Lincoln, Mecklenburg, and Person counties. Hughes was convicted of breaking and entering in Person County back in 2010. He did 6 months in prison. He was released in May of 2011. A year later, he gets arrested after a high-speed chase in Alamance County. At the time, he was wanted on several warrants in numerous counties for failing to appear in court. He spent nearly a year in prison for possession of a firearm by a convicted felon and speeding to elude arrest. He was arrested by CMPD on multiple drug charges in May of 2021. He was also charged with fleeing or eluding arrest with a motor vehicle. He was released from jail hours later, records show. Again, May 2021. Court records show that many, but not all, of the charges out of Mecklenburg County were dismissed. When you keep telling people that breaking the law has no ramifications and you're not going to enforce these laws, you cannot be surprised when people don't expect you to enforce the laws. This guy has been doing this for a decade. He had been doing this for a decade. And there are other people just like him. And law enforcement knows who they are. The court system knows who they are. Right? The people involved in the system know the repeat offenders. They know who they are. And we are all made less safe for it. Let's go to the phones and talk with Jerry. Hello, Jerry. How are you?
Hey, Pete. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Your coverage on this week has been terrific. It's been insightful, and it's been considerate, and it's been very thoughtful. My thought today is whoever is responsible for the charges against that person not being moved forward, in my opinion, should be forced to resign. And frankly, what I would like to see is that person be charged as an accessory to the murder of those four law enforcement officials.
Right, and I don't know all of the details yet on what charges came out of Mecklenburg, which ones got disposed of and how, which ones were dropped and when and who did it. Was it a magistrate? Was it a judge? Right. So we still have a lot more questions to get answers to.
Didn't you say a moment ago that he had been arrested a number of times in Mecklenburg County?
Yes.
And that the charges had all been dropped?
Some of them have, and this is going back, according to the WCNC report, this is going back, you know, over several years. So right. He's got a lot of failure to appear charges. And that was one of the things that they were going to pick him up on.
Right.
And so, like, the fleeing to elude police, that came out of Lincoln County. I think there was another one of those that came out of Person County. I think the firearm charge, possession by a felon, I think that may have been Lincoln County as well, but I don't know. That's what I mean. Like, there's a lot of different charges that got disposed of or got dropped. I think yesterday I had, I'm trying to find the sheet that I had on him from yesterday where, yeah, he had multiple felony counts, including a weapons offense. At a Lincoln County. Wanted for possession of a firearm by felon and felony flee to elude out of Lincoln County. So that's where they were going to pick him up on. But he also had some of these other things out of Mecklenburg and Person County. I don't know because I'm relying on the WCNC report and they did not link up to the documents for me to see. So I don't know which ones they were talking about there. But it does appear obvious that over the course of the last few years, like May 2021 is when they're saying that he was convicted of breaking and entering in Person County in 2010, 2012, had the high-speed chase in Alamance County, and he was wanted on several warrants in numerous counties for failing to appear in court, which, by the way, that's the whole point of the bail and the bonds, right? That's the whole point of putting people on a bond, is to make sure they show up in court. So what's happening, I would submit it's probably in the no-bail jurisdictions where you're basically released because bail is, you know, a sign of the patriarchy, and bail is and bond systems are inequitable and racist and stuff. And so you can't do a bond and take bail from people because if they're poor, well, they can't afford the bail and now they can never get their freedom and their whole life spirals out of control and all of that. But like this guy's got a record going back 15 years.
If there are any, I don't know who it would be, a district attorney, whoever, whatever the role is.
Right.
If there are any people in those roles currently that were in those positions when that person was arrested in their jurisdiction, in my opinion, they should be immediately forced to resign. And again, I'm not a lawyer, I don't know, but if there was the opportunity to and again, pipe dream, we know it'll never happen, to charge them with it as being an accessory to the murder of those police officers and the federal agents. That's what I think would be just. Unfortunately, what you're talking about bail, until, you know, what I've seen, including with some celebrities, mm-hmm. until something happens close to them, to someone they know or love, they don't usually change their mind about an issue. So it's not as if I would want to see anybody hurt, you know, close to somebody that has a position like this on bail, but sometimes that's what it takes to get someone to realize how wrong they are.
Right. Well, and this is part of a larger movement that has come predominantly from inside the left. There are some libertarians that are part of this movement as well, but this idea against no bail, right, this or to enact no bail policies. And the DA here in Mecklenburg County, Spencer Merriweather, according to the WCNC story here, he stopped prosecuting a lot of drug crimes in early 2021. That was before I got here, but he stopped prosecuting a lot of these drug crimes because of the pandemic that he said bogged down the court system. And so they could not clear the cases. And so he just stopped prosecuting, which also, by the way, happened to have a political benefit, I'm sure just coincidentally, right, that this is what the far left decarcerate crowd was lobbying for and pressuring Democrats. And when you're in a blue city and county like we're in, their voices become more powerful because the Democrats control all of the political bodies. And that means during the primaries, those decarceration and the more leftist wing has outsized influence in getting people into the general election where they usually face no competition. That's part of the problem. So
I think another part of the problem is the political system here. I mean, it's the political system, period. But here, the money that it would take to have a message break through is so enormous that how does any normal person who's not wealthy to begin with have a chance to step forward to make their point heard, make their positions heard? Beyond that, with what we've seen be done to people who are brave enough to step forward and run for public office, have their livelihoods, torn apart because of accusations, how our political system currently is. How does anybody step forward to try to make change happen? Who's going to step, what attorney is going to step forward to challenge Spencer Merriweather?
Mm-hmm. So
that's what I've only been here for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we've gotten to where we are here, how we've gotten to where we are in the country. But this is soul crushing to me. I mean, the people who live in that area, the good people, the hardworking people, they don't want this going on. I mean, I live in a very nice part of Charlotte in a very nice neighborhood, and we've had people who have taken up residence here in our neighborhood who thankfully, by some reason they left on their own or they felt that they were about to be arrested or whatever, and so they got out of our neighborhood. But if things are going on in someone's house, you can't do any. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing the police can do about it. So that's how I think people like that person end up in a neighborhood that may be in a bad part of town, but probably has very nice people trying to just, earn a living and live their lives.
Oh, yeah. Look, I lived within 2 miles of this location back in 2005 through, 2009. Working class neighborhood, very mixed, diverse population. There were a lot of older people that bought into the neighborhood back in the, 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever, and then they just stayed. So, there's just a mix of people there. But I think part of the problem is, and Jerry, I do appreciate the call and the kind words. Thanks for listening. I think, though, that part of the problem is, and we saw it in Asheville. I mean, Asheville, they would eviscerate you. If you ran for public office and you were anything sort of to the right of Stalin, they would come for you, your business, everything, right? And it got to the point where nobody wanted to run for any office. And that is precisely what they want to happen. And that's how they end up with control, right? So if good people do nothing, you end up being governed by the bad ones. I appreciate the call, Jerry. I got a couple of messages here to Pete at thepetecallinershow.com. An email from Jan, who says, when we get to the point where breaking the law has no consequences, the afternoon traffic report is going to be more like a body count. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. At some point, people who are otherwise law-abiding citizens, because they have bought into the concept of a social compact, that we all operate as a society with a high level of trust, that we will all follow the laws. And if we do not, then the laws will be enforced equally upon us all. And once the society recognizes that that is not the case any longer, there is no longer an incentive for people to follow the laws, if particularly they believe they can continue to ignore the laws and not face any repercussions, which is what apparently this murderer, Hughes, had been led to believe because of his experience with the court system. According to WCNC, the DA, Spencer Merriweather, stopped prosecuting many drug crimes in 2021 as the pandemic bogged down the court system. Court records show Hughes has a pending case from late 2021 out of Person County for possession of a firearm by a felon and possession of marijuana. 2021. It's a 2.5-year-old charge. A warrant shows the Person County Sheriff's Office found him with a handgun. Court records show that he failed to appear for a court date on those charges in February of 2023. So like a year and a half after he gets popped for possession of a firearm by a felon, then he never shows for court. And it's taken another year and a half to go after him and try to bring him in. Because the court issued an order for arrest that day, and that remains outstanding, according to the clerk's office. Let's go over to the phones here again and get Robert on. Hello, Robert. Welcome to the show.
Poppy, I wanted to respond to the previous caller. She asked, how did we get to where we are? In my opinion, we got to where we are because we have a very lazy and illiterate electorate. More than 80% of the eligible voters in the last election didn't turn out to vote for, in the primaries, which is where these guys are elected, for Sheriff Hollywood McFadden, for DA Merriweather, and I don't know, Judge Trosh's election numbers. But we allow people to run on a platform in the primaries when so few people vote that you can literally control the outcome, we allow them to then legislate. There are laws that certain elected officials, like our sheriff, like our district attorney, choose not to enforce, and they can't change it. They don't have those powers. However, they can simply choose not to enforce it. Well, we have Judge Trosh, who thankfully has finally been removed from her position. But she went before the Charlotte City Council to say that public urination, public defecation, and public masturbation should not be punished. This is a judge who is charged with carrying out what laws are passed.
She is. Let me tell you, she's still a judge, Robert. She is still a judge in Mecklenburg County. She's just not the chief anymore. She's not the chief judge, but you are exactly right. She went down to city council and argued against the recriminalization because they used to be crimes and now they're not, but they used to be crimes and the city council can recriminalize it under local ordinance. And she argued against that. Yes.
And let me add one more point, but I heard on the Brett Jensen show the other evening, I heard the sheriff being interviewed and they asked, we've got all of these juvenile crimes. Why aren't you opening why aren't we opening a juvenile detention center? We've got one of the nicest in the state that is closed up right now. And his exact response was, well, look, ain't nobody come and talk to me about this stuff. He literally said, I am the highest elected law enforcement officer in this county, and I am the highest elected Democrat in this county, and nobody's come and talked to me. Look, if you're in that role, nobody needs to come and talk to you.
Right.
Your job is to make that happen.
Yeah, Robert, you're exactly right. I appreciate the call. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.